In the name of Jesus, amen. Once again, I thank you all for being here. Your presence blesses me and blesses our seminary community. I want to thank all who prepared this service. This also is a blessing. It's not my normal fare, and it will stay with me in wonderful memories for a long, long time. And it is my prayer also that this multi-ethnic symposium will be seen years from now as the confirmation and also the beginning of growth in the ministry and the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you very, very much. We've been thinking universally, the great cosmic gospel of our Lord Jesus. And I want to bring it down in these next minutes to the place where you live and the place where I live. Not so cosmic, not so global, not so glorious, but just the plodding little lives that you and I live back home. This past Saturday, we came across a post on Facebook, and this is about someone who is looking for a church home in Collinsville, Illinois, which is 20 miles straight east. And here is the post from this last Saturday. A woman writes, "Looking for recommendations for a church that is accepting, open to new members and people with tattoos, alternative appearance. Very new to this whole thing, and want to find a place of worship where I can feel free of judgment and a sense of belonging. Thank you in advance." So here we have a person who, for whatever reason, is moved to look for a church, and she posts on Facebook that she's looking for a church in Collinsville. Now, that's a funny thing, because Diane and I have had our home in Collinsville, Illinois, for the last 36 years. We know that town. We raised our children in that town. Long ago, I was the pastor at one of the churches, and we still worship at that church. We love that church. We love our pastors. But here's the zinger. The people who answered her inquiry about a church never mentioned a Lutheran church. There are eight Lutheran churches in Collinsville and in immediately adjoining communities. Six of those eight Lutheran churches belong to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I know most of them. They are fine churches. They are people who love their church and love one another. I mean, well, most of the time they are Lutheran. And those churches teach the Word of God in its truth and purity, but no one suggested to this woman moved to find a church that she go to the Lutheran church. So my question is, you know, get off the global, universal trip, just go back home. What kind of reputation does your church have? My text this evening is from Romans chapter 15. And these verses are part of the Apostle Paul's summation of the themes that he has presented in the first 15 chapters. Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. There should be something different about our churches. There should be a welcome that we extend to one another on Sunday within the walls of our congregation, but a welcome that is so overflowing that we take it with us during the week to anybody we meet. There should be a welcome that is so great that our congregation back home gets a reputation in the community as a place that is, oh, you know, those Lutherans, they're different. They are different than any other group in our town, any other gathering in our town, any other organization, any other affiliation. Those Lutherans in that church, there's nothing quite like them. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. The welcome of Jesus. I mean, who has bigger, more welcoming arms than Jesus? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28. Whosoever cometh unto me, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, he says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I remember a hymn that I grew up with, and it says, I came to Jesus as I was weary and worn and sad, and found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Isn't that the truth? You know that's the truth. Who has arms that are as big and welcoming to you and me, the sick and the sinners, as Jesus? And if Jesus has these big welcoming arms, shouldn't the body of Jesus, the body of Christ, have arms that are just as big, just as welcoming to all people? Shouldn't the body of Christ back in your town be a place that is categorically different from every other organization, every other grouping, every other affiliation in your community? Because it is a place where Jesus is present in his body to bring all to him. These big, welcoming arms of Jesus embrace us with grace. The epistle to the Romans is just chock full of talk about saving grace. One of the key verses in the development of the argument in the Epistle to the Romans is in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. The apostle says, God says, there is no distinction. No distinction between Jew and Gentile, no distinction between ethnicities. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Those big arms that embrace you and me and want to embrace the rest of our communities with grace offer the grace of God. It is the grace of God, from God, not my own doing, not your doing. It's not because we are religious people. It's not because we are active in the church. It's not because you came to the multi-ethnic symposium. It's not because we are Lutheran. It's because it's the grace of God, not of us. And it is this grace of God, this is important, that destroys distinctions. In this world, we live with all kinds of distinctions, all kinds of qualifications. That's the way life is. But the grace of God destroys all distinctions. In the Epistle to the Romans, it was the distinction between Jew and Gentile that was destroyed. And in our lives, despite all the distinctions that the world imposes upon us, the distinction between ethnicities and human judgments is destroyed by the grace of God. If you and I are saved by the grace of God, then that grace extends to everyone with no distinction. It is the grace of God that destroys the human distinctions that so much and so vainly control so much of our conduct, and it is the grace of God that reaches into your heart and mine and elicits faith. The grace of God, those big arms that enfold you and me with the grace that comes from the Creator, that grace elicits faith. It leads us to trust the promises of God, to trust the promises of God. Big arms, sola gratia, grace alone. And they pick us up and hug us with sola fide, by faith alone. The theme is Reformation across borders. That's fine. That's fine. You know what? Grace and faith obliterate borders. No east, no west, what you sang, no distinction. The way the world values you and me and makes judgments upon us for whatever reason it does, obliterated in the body of Christ. Salvation is for all. Now contrast that to the recent presidential campaign. You with me? There was a survey recently sent to 10,000 educators. And of those educators who responded, 90% said that the rhetoric of this last campaign had a negative impact upon their schools. 40% of the respondents said that they had personally witnessed incidents of racial targeting, intimidation, and harassment. Those are the distinctions, the criteria, the valuations of this culture in which we live. Concordia Seminary intends to be the body of Christ to you and everyone, with big arms extending the grace of God that knows no distinctions and holds us all by faith and trust in the promises. We intend this seminary to be a gathering of the body of Christ, which sends forth pastors and deaconesses and continuing education resources and workshops and media and social media, so that back home, every church, every congregation, the little localized place where you live and labor is distinctly different from everything else in your community, so that people who are caught up in this harried, difficult, frantic culture will say, whoa, there's something different going on with those people, and they're gonna wanna find out what is the hope that is in you. You remember that woman in Collinsville who was looking for a church and we failed the test? She said, she's very new to this whole thing and want to find a place of worship where I can feel free of judgment. I know what some people would say about that, but let me tell you what I think. I don't think she is saying she does not want to hear the law of God. I don't think that's what this seeking woman is saying at all. I think she's saying, fine, I am glad to hear the law of God as long as I know that there are big arms of love and forgiveness that are going to enfold me. I mean, you know from your own experience, to hear the law preached to you with its condemnation and its denial of the way you and I live, that is really welcome when we know that the big arms of Jesus are there all the time to hold us with forgiveness and hope. I think that's what she is saying. And that's why when you and I leave this universal, cosmic, wonderful celebration of the gospel in all its languages, to all tongues and all colors, when we go back, St. Paul would tell us that our community should be this. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live at home in your congregation, in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now, when you go home, how do we work for this? For that kind of a congregation is always going to be a work in progress. What do we do? Those big arms are sola gratia. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we are picked up like the little children that Jesus held, sola fide, by faith and trust in our Lord Jesus. How do we know that? sola scriptura, by the Bible. By the Bible. I don't know of anything that you and I can do more in our congregations here in the seminary than to develop a culture that lives in that Word of God, that living and active Word of God that cuts to our very being, but brings in faith and hope and joy. What more can we do? I am not asking if your church back home has Bible study. Amen. Everybody has Bible study. You can go to the YMCA and get a study in something. You know, it does not make us different that we offer Bible studies. What I'm asking is, does your congregation back home have a culture, a sense of being where everyone knows living in the Bible is what we do? This is who we are. We do not take the Bible and try to apply it to the story of my life. We take my life, we take our life together, and we put it in the Bible. And when we do that, we have the promise from God that He will come to us with His great blessings. And we will be that kind of community around the world, but it's all local finally, that people will notice that these people, they have something. They have been with Jesus. A couple months ago, I was with a district president. There's a social gathering, and unfortunately, we were lamenting divisions within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he looked at me and he said, "Turn the exegetes loose." The exegetes are professors of biblical interpretation. They're the high class and overpaid Bible study teachers. No, I'll take that back, I'll take that back. I mean, it's a fancy word. In theology, we use fancy word, but exegetes teach biblical interpretation. And so this district president was not saying, turn them loose so that they can come up with some kind of novel, strange interpretations that upset the church, and he wasn't saying that. And he also was not saying, forget about systematics and historical theology and practical theology. He wasn't saying that. What he was saying is sola scriptura. Let's get the church, our congregations, our seminary, deep into the Word of God. And when you get deep into the Word of God, people will know, like in Acts chapter 4, you've been with Jesus. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura. What will that do to the reputation of your church back home? Or let me put it this way. If this seminary disappeared tomorrow, if your congregation disappeared tomorrow, would it make a difference in your community? Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.